And I ask you please to turn back with me to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. And before we come to consider God's word today, we're going to seek his help once again in a word of prayer. Let's all pray. Our Father, we pray now that you'll come and write thy word upon our hearts. O God, we pray that you'll shine the searchlight of thy truth into our hearts today. We thank thee for thy word. We thank thee, O God, that thy word is truth. We pray, O Lord, that you'll help us ever to live up to the truth and the standards of thy word. Father, we pray now that as we come to consider the word of God for this time, we pray, O Lord, that you'll speak to us out of thy word. We thank thee that this is thy completed revelation. We need nothing more. We thank thee for the scriptures of truth. We thank thee, O God, that they are the revealed truth to our hearts for today. And so, Lord, we pray that you will come and speak to each one of us out of thy word today. Lord, may we hear thy voice. Lord, forbid that the voice of man will be heard. But Lord, we pray that we'll be attentive to the voice of God speaking to us. Come and use this vessel of clay to thine honour and to thy glory. Lord, give words, we pray today, that will prevail before thy face and before this people. Give us help to preach. Give us help to handle the word of truth aright. Keep us from error. And O God, we pray that in all things we'll seek to glorify thy Son, our Saviour, for he alone is worthy. So hear this, our prayer. And continue on with this, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So the apostle tells us over in the book of Hebrews. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But the question is asked, and often asked, what is faith? What exactly is this faith that so often we refer to? It may seem on the face of it a very simple question, yet so many today would stumble over it. In our society in which we live, faith is a word that is so easily bandied about. There is so little thought actually given to the meaning of faith and what it is. In the scriptures, again, we have a very clear definition of what faith is. Paul writing again to the Hebrew Christians, he said, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith, therefore, is a confidence or a trusting in that which visibly is not apparent to us at this moment. Therefore, when we talk of faith, and when we talk of faith as measured in the scriptures, we are talking of a true faith. People today have faith in many things. People today have faith in many religions. People today have faith in many people. People today have faith in themselves. But that is not the faith of the Word of God. And can I say that right from the very outset of the message today, if you do not have a faith that's grounded and trusting in God and in God alone, then it is not the faith of the Scriptures. It is not a true faith. There must be that saving faith. That faith that rests alone in God for salvation. Let me ask you today, what is it that you're depending on for salvation? As you sit in this meeting today, what is it that you're depending on to get you to heaven? Because if your faith, if your trust, if your dependence is not in Christ and in Christ alone, then it will be of no avail. There must be that saving faith. One of the great fundamental truths of the Reformation. That truth that Luther and other reformers rediscovered was that great evangelical truth of justification by faith alone. Therefore, Paul says, being justified by faith. Therefore, being made right before God, being made just as if we had never sinned by faith. Not a faith in our own goodness, not a faith in our own good works, but a faith in Jesus Christ alone. Faith, therefore, is a total and absolute dependence on God. And those of us that are saved today, that is true faith. Because it's the faith of the Scriptures. But then how can we know that our faith is real? How can we be sure of the reality of our faith? Now I know there is a peace in our heart. When we come by faith and trust Jesus Christ alone for salvation, there's a peace, there's a joy in our heart that we didn't have before. A peace, as the Scripture says, that passeth all understanding. There is the truth that our spirit beareth witness with His spirit that we are children of God. But what about the outworking of that faith in our lives? What signs can we be sure of in our lives that our faith is real? Well, again, we judge it as we must always judge it according to the Scriptures of truth. We consider what God teaches us in His Word about faith, and then we measure it against that yardstick. And as we measure our faith, and as we see the outworking of our faith, I believe we have no greater example than that of the great patriarch Abraham. Abraham referred to as the friend of God and the father of the faith. And in Genesis chapter 22, we have another demonstration, perhaps. Yea, even the greatest demonstration of the outworking of this man's faith, of a true faith, of a true dependence in God. And as we come to consider this passage of Scripture before us today, by the help of God, we want to consider what we've entitled the reality of a true faith. The reality of a true faith. I want you to see first of all with me here that a true faith will always be tested by God. A true faith will always be tested by God. Turn to verse 1. Genesis chapter 22 and the verse 1. Came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Now that word tempt there can also be translated to try or to prove, to test. Remember, God, who, as we will see in a moment, allowed this to happen, does not tempt people in the way that we think of temptation. God cannot tempt any man to sin. James tells us, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So God never tempts any man, any one of his people, to sin. Because as we think of temptation, it's a provocation. It's something designed to weaken us. The devil tempts us to try to bring us down. But when we talk about testing, as we have it here in this chapter, it's a thought there of purifying us and strengthening us. Abraham, therefore, was being tested as a proof of his faith, as a reality of his faith. Dear child of God, today, we must accept also that God will test and prove us. As we consider this testing by God, I want you to see the abundance of testing. Look again at verse 1. What does it say? It came to pass after these things. And our thoughts are taken back to what has gone before in the previous chapter, and indeed in the previous chapters. The thought here is that Abraham has been tested before. God has proved this man in a day gone past. In fact, as you read the life of Abraham, and you read the account of Abraham as we have it here in Scripture, you could say that his entire life was a life of testing. His entire life was a life of proving God. You remember when he was settled, as he thought, in his homeland in the Ur of Chaldees, and God tells him to get out of that land and to go to a land that he would show him. And then there's the testing of the choice of land with Lot. The testing then of Hagar and Ishmael. The testing of the barrenness of his wife Sarah. And over again, Abraham is tested and proved by God. Not with the purpose of destroying him, but the purpose of strengthening him. And Christian, today, there will be times in our life, and I'm sure you can speak from experience, there will be times in your life when God will ask you to pass through a valley of testing and a valley of affliction. And perhaps it may seem that troubles abound, that you've no sooner got out of one situation and there's another one. That's the way that God leads us, in order to test us and to prove us. Peter was writing to a church that was under great persecution, writing to many churches that were under great persecution. Those that had been dispersed throughout the region because of the persecution of their faith. And these churches that Peter was writing to over in the New Testament were being tried and being tested on every hand in order to give up their faith, to recant their faith and to turn from God. But Peter comes to them and he says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as some strange thing happened unto you. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you." And how many of God's people, and God asked them to pass through the crucible of testing. And we should not think it as some strange thing. Because as we read through the Scriptures, we will see that that is God's way of proving our faith and testing our faith. Not only the abundance of testing, but notice again here the author of testing. What did it say in verse 1? God did tempt. We've already said that God tempts no man to sin. Cannot tempt any man to sin, because that would just destroy the whole holiness of God. But in His inscrutable will for our lives, we have to say that He orders events so that at times we can pass through the valley of affliction. And we dare not question a sovereign God. Or what doest thou? God has made us. We are His workmanship, and there are times when He throws us, as it were, to the potter's wheel. And why God allows certain things to happen to people. Why today in many of our churches some of God's choicest saints are under such seemingly difficult and hard trials, we cannot understand. It's only known to Him. But one thing we can't be sure of. God will never prove us. God will never test us above that which we are not able to bear. God will prove us. God will test us in line with our capabilities. And God will give sufficient grace for every trial and for every situation that we're asked to pass through. As we said, Abraham had been tested many times. God had seen fit to test and to prove him many, many times. And each time he was able to bear it. The child of God, in the darkest night of your affliction, in the deepest valley of your sorrow and trial, remember that God is always able to bear you up. Our faith and our confidence and our trust in Him and in Him alone. David is another such example. And David is a man who, as we know, was not perfect by any means. But as he sought to live for God, there were many situations that crossed his pathway. And probably one of the most difficult things that David had to pass through was the time when Absalom, his own son, rose up in rebellion against him. His own son, his own flesh and blood, rose up to try to destroy his father. And then, to side with Absalom, there was that man called Ahithophel, who was his trusted advisor, his second-hand man, as we say, his right-hand man. The man who was always there to guide him. And no sooner had Absalom rose up in rebellion against David till Ahithophel, his right-hand man, rose as well. And what a trial that was for David. Yet he comes to us in Psalm 55. And he says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. And that word burden there literally means a gift. And he's saying, God, you've given this to me. You've given this trial to me. But I'll cast it back to you because you're able to sustain. Cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. See as well here with me the anguish of testing. God allows it, as we've said. He ordains it as a reality of our faith. But it does hurt. it can so often be painful. Paul says, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. And so it was with Abraham. Look at verse 2. Here God is speaking to him in Genesis 22 and verse 2. Look what he says. Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac. And here you can almost feel the heart of Abraham rendering even more as God reminds him, this is your son I'm asking you to sacrifice. This is your only son. And he goes further and he says, whom thou lovest. Oh, this was a terrible suffering. He says, take thy son, not an animal. Your only son. The one you loved. We're not told, of course, the innermost thoughts of Abraham, but as a father, as a mere mortal, his heart must have been breaking. As he hears this message from God. Ishmael's gone, and am I going now to lose Isaac as well? And I don't need to tell anyone, I'm sure, in this congregation, that when we're in the crucible of God's testing and God's trial, it can be painful and it can hurt. You think of Job. You think of all that came upon Job as he watched 10 coffins leave his home in one day. His entire health gone, his entire wealth gone. And you read Job chapter 6, we'll not take time to turn to it, but you'll see that there was anguish in his heart. Perhaps I'm speaking to someone today, and God in his divine providence is asking you to pass through a period of trial, and it's hurting. It's hurting. Oh, but if our trust and our dependence is totally in God, then we'll be able to say as what the psalmist asks for God, his way is perfect. Never lose sight of God. Whatever God is asking you to pass through today, never lose sight of the Savior. People will say, if only I could get out of this predicament that I'm in, then I'll find Christ. I'll rededicate my life to the Lord and I'll seek God. And no, you'll find Christ in the storms of life. You'll find him right where he wants you to be. True faith will always be tested by God, but let's come further here and see that true faith will always trust in God. True faith will always trust in God. And this is where we're coming to the heart of the matter. You see, we can have many great theological answers as to what faith is. But at the end of the day, it's just a totally resigned trust and dependence in God, as we said earlier. Look at the example of Abraham. How is this faith demonstrated in his life? What's the proof of the faith here? How is he totally depending on God? Well, see, first of all, there's a willingness to listen. Look what he says in verse 1. Behold, here I am. God wanted to speak. God had something to tell Abraham, and Abraham wanted to hear from God. God speaks to us today through his word. This is his revealed world. He doesn't use dreams. He doesn't use revelations. God speaks to us today through his word. And as we read the word of God, we must read it with a desire to hear from God. That'll be a proof. That'll be a test of our faith. Not only a willingness to listen, but then an agreeableness to follow. Come down to the end of verse 2. God has said about Isaac, described Isaac. He says, offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. God doesn't tell Abraham exactly where to go, but Abraham is willing and agreeable to follow God. Just as he was back in Genesis 12 when God told him to get out of his homeland and to go to a place that he didn't know, he was still willing to follow. So many people today, and they're obsessed with what the future holds. We want to know what tomorrow holds for us. We want to know what path of life we're going to be asked to pass through. And a whole multi-billion pound industry has grown up today by those evil, wicked people who do the clairvoyance, who read the star signs, who make up what they think people want to hear. And sad to say, even some of God's people, they're taken up with these things. They're taken up with the evil and the wickedness of sin, reading the horoscopes, reading the star signs, rather than trusting God. Rather being agreeable to follow God wherever he leads. Child of God, our faith is not in the workers of iniquity. Who will tell us what we want to hear? Our faith must be in God and in God alone, and willing to follow him wherever he may lead. I can say to you honestly today, I am glad that I do not know what tomorrow holds. I am glad I do not know where God would have me be in 2, 3, 4 years' time, whatever. Because if I did, I would probably run as far as I could away from God. God reveals us, his will for us, one step at a time. We learn the will of God for our lives as we do the will of God. And Abraham was willing to follow, willing to listen, but then there was a readiness to respond. Look at verse 3. He rose up early in the morning. No delay. No delay at all. Commentators would suggest that this was a revelation that Abraham had received in the night. And as soon as morning broke, Abraham put his faith in action and responded to what God wanted him to do. We could so easily have reasoned with God. He could so easily have said, God, you're asking me to sacrifice Isaac. Do you not remember the promise you gave to me back in Genesis 12 and 3 when you will bless me and you'll bless my seed and every nation of the earth will be blessed in me. But how will it be blessed if I have to kill and destroy my son? Could so easily have reasoned with God. But no. He responded to what God had asked him to do. God's ways are always the best ways. Then there was an eagerness to obey, because he did exactly what God wanted him to do. We're not going to take time, for time is gone, to consider the sacrifice of Isaac. We will, in the will of the Lord, be coming back to this in the Gospel tonight and consider in more detail the sacrifice of Isaac. But suffice to say that Abraham obeyed God. He listened. He followed. He responded. And he obeyed. That's true faith. That's a faith that's trusting God. You remember old Saul. What a character he is, was. God came to him. And God told him, destroy the entire Amalekites, all they have, everything. But Saul thought, well, what I'll do is I'll keep back the best of the sheep, keep back the best of the oxen. And then wise old Samuel comes to him and he says, well, did you do what God wanted you to do? He says, yes, I did. And Samuel says, well, what about the bleeding of the sheep? Did God not tell you to destroy them all? He says, oh, well, I was going to keep them as a sacrifice to God. Samuel comes to him and he says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Trying to cover his sin by dressing it up. But he disobeyed God. But here is a man in Genesis 22 who obeyed God right to the very letter of his word. True faith will always be tested. True faith will always trust. Finally, true faith will always be triumphant through God. Abraham was tested. Abraham trusted. And Abraham, praise God, was triumphant. He got his son back. God never tests us, as we say, to destroy us, but to make us better. The trial of your faith, Peter says, being more precious than gold that perisheth, that it might be found unto the honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. God doesn't intend for us to feel his test because he provides everything for us to overcome. Nobody trusts God in vain. Abraham trusted God. Abraham obeyed God. And as a result, he enjoyed many wonderful blessings. He enjoyed the commendation of God. Look at verse 12. God comes to him just after he has told him not to destroy and to kill Isaac. God comes to him in verse 12. He says, for now I know thou fearest God. Of course, God always knew. God always knew. But God gave another opportunity for Abraham to display his faith to all around. There was the commendation of God, and then there was the provision of God. He provided the ram caught in the thicket. Child of God, he always provides a way through. In your darkest hour, in your deepest trial, God always provides for you. Remember the children of Israel. As they stood at the banks of the Red Sea, Pharaoh and his army advancing behind. Where were they to go? To go back, they'd be captured. to go either direction, left or right, they'd be dispersed. No, they went forward because God provided a way through the Red Sea. And God always provides not a way around, not a way back, but always a way through. Never, never forget that. God will provide a way through your darkest day, just as He provided for Abraham. And God repeats the promise again to Abraham there in verse 17. He says that in blessing, I will bless thee. God always blesses obedience. God always blesses those that are faithful to Him. The great old hymn writer and evangelist Noel Grant wrote the words of that lovely hymn, "The price is high, severe the test, for those who would enjoy God's best, surrender all and take the road for those who will go through with God." This particular trial of Abraham was given to him as an opportunity to put his faith into action. God gives us opportunities to put our faith in display. If all were easy, if all were bright, where would the cross be? Where would the fight? But in the hardness, God gives to you chances of proving that you are true. May we take encouragement today from the life of faith of this man, Abraham. His faith is always tested. And God will always test a true faith. A true faith will always trust. And a true faith will always be triumphant. May that be our testimony today. And if you are in this meeting still not saved, I pray that even this very day, that you will come. And that you'll put your faith and your trust in Him and in Him alone, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, for salvation. Don't trust anything else. Trust Him and Him alone. May God bless His word to our hearts.